Iran and the West have now agreed on a date when the nuclear deal they reached back in November takes effect. And that date, as U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry told reporters, is January 20th.
As of that day, January 20th, for the first time in almost a decade, Iran's nuclear program will not be able to advance. In fact, parts of it will be rolled back.
The deal calls for Iran to stop production of highly enriched uranium and the building of any new centrifuges. In return, the U.S. and European countries will begin to ease some of the economic sanctions imposed on Iran. It's an interim deal pending a more long-term agreement. Here's how David Albright describes it. He's president of the Institute for Science and International Security in Washington.
The most important part of the deal is that it's buying some time. It's in a sense freezing the most threatening parts of Iran's nuclear program and allowing time for the United States and its allies to, in the P5+1 in Germany, to try to negotiate a long-term deal. Now, in practical terms, Iran doesn't get very much for this deal in the agreement. I mean, it gets some sanctions relief, gets some, in essence, some money released from frozen accounts. There's a part of it, though, that Iran's hoping to get, which is to weaken the sanctions regime. But the United States and others are going to try to stop that. So I think in practical terms, what's in the agreement is Iran doesn't get much sanctions relief.
David Albright, that sounds diametrically opposite from what Congress was complaining about a few weeks ago.
Congress worries about that Iran will exploit the situation to weaken the sanctions. Remember, there's some members of Congress who don't think the deal is good at all. And I personally think there's a lot of advantages to having this interim deal and then the opportunity to negotiate a comprehensive solution. Some members of Congress don't want to see a centrifuge program or any significant nuclear programs at all in Iran at the end of the negotiation process. The joint plan of action is not going to provide that.
Tell me, David, exactly what Iran is giving up in this deal.
Well, there's several things it's giving up. One, there's certain conditions that it's accepting on its nuclear program, and there's additional monitoring or verification activities by the International Atomic Energy Agency that'll provide more transparency of the nuclear program. Iran is giving up its making of near 20% enriched uranium, which is not that far from being 90% enriched, and that's the enrichment level you'd want for nuclear weapons. Iran is going to start converting some of its 3.5% enriched uranium out of the hexafluoride form into an oxide form. And what that means is that it wouldn't be as readily usable in the centrifuge process to further enrich to 20% and then on to 90%. So it's in a sense, you measure Iranian progress by its ability to break out and make enough weapon-grade uranium, the 90% material, for nuclear weapons. And the breakout times will increase as a result of this interim deal.
Are you confident that all the verification mechanisms are in place and that Iran will act upon what it has promised?
I think Iran is going to be difficult. I mean, it showed during the negotiations of the implementation of the interim deal. There's a lot of words in that, but a joint plan of action set up an interim deal. It had language defining it. Iran caused a lot of trouble in the negotiations about what does that language mean? What does broken mean? Well, broken to us would mean it doesn't work anymore. Didn't necessarily mean that to Iran. The main action, though, is going to be in two places. One is, can you arrive at a comprehensive solution? If Iran says it should, whatever conditions are imposed for, are only have a duration of 3.5 years, the U.S. says 20 years, can they narrow the difference?
David Albright is founder and president of the Institute for Science and International Security in Washington, D.C. Thank you, David, for your time.
Okay, thank you.